Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
And a good Monday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Darren McFarland, that's me, Willie Donick.
Good morning.
Got a sweater on. Must be heading to the airport a little bit later. That's him. Chase McCabe.
Yo, yo.
He's back.
I'm back.
He's alive.
I am alive. Alive and well.
Mm-hmm. Well, good.
Feeling good.
How was your trip?
It was good. It was fun. Got to have a few days away and just kind of re-energize and hang out with some friends and enjoy Gatlinburg. I got cold as the time went on. Colder, I should say. So that made it, you know, hard to sit outside because it was windy and cold. And
get a fire pit.
Yeah, well, that's on the agenda for next time.
Yeah. Got to find the fire pit, man. We go in the wintertime.
Yeah. So, but it was good. We had fun.
Good. Elijah Campbell behind the glass. Teron Davenport will join us here shortly. We'll get into what was the Super Bowl last night in Miami. Offseason moves for the Titans because it's now officially the offseason. And, oh, by the way, can we get any more cryptic Tom Brady messages?
That was great. That commercial, that was awesome. He's just trolling now.
Let me ask you something. And I'm being serious about this because, one, I'm not throwing it out there because it's good fodder or content for the show. It is. But if we didn't really believe it, we wouldn't be talking about it. If he was really going back, would he really be doing all that? He's never done all this before. So, and by the way, the more you hear about stuff here, whether it's true or not, and his trolling constantly and Instagram and commercials, is anybody else besides me starting to believe that there's probably a lot of smoke here?
About here?
Maybe there's fire.
About
leaving. Like, oh, there's leaving? There's a lot of smoke. Like, is anybody else coughing from the smoke?
But here's inhaling. But this is the question. If you're just talking about the commercial, when he says I'm not going anywhere, does that mean I'm coming back? Period, or I'm coming back to the Patriots?
Either could be true. I took it as I'm not going anywhere, as in I'm not retiring.
But it's wide open. Yeah. You can interpret it however you want to, that's the point. Right. That's why he's doing it. And, yeah, he has never done this before because guess what? He's never been in this position before. They've never let it get this far. They've always had a contract done. And
that's what I'm saying. Shouldn't that also tell us that there's real smoke?
But if you're him, I know if I was in his position, having won 6 rings and all the success, I mean, first ballot Hall of Famer, and now I can do whatever I want, I'd have fun with it. I don't blame him. I think it's hilarious. I thought that commercial was so well done. Of you know, just the troll job, because he had some tweets and all that stuff too, like you were talking about, and it all works. So who cares? I mean, he's probably going to end up. I think he's going to end up somewhere else. I had said all along, and Darren, I think you and I were on the same page on this, that it was more likely he goes somewhere else than retires, and it definitely seems that way. So I. Where that place is going to be.
Oh, I don't think retirement's even
no,
cards.
I never considered retirement.
Yeah, no.
But I'm talking about, you know, week 5. Whenever this stuff started of, could they, you know, could he finally leave and go somewhere else? And, you know, we had conversations on the show about Phillip Rivers. And then as the season went on, Tannehill has picked it up. Now Tannehill looks like the guy. And, hey, but what if, you know, and – I think the consensus was always it's more likely Tom Brady goes and plays somewhere else than he retires. And now I think he's made it pretty clear he's not retiring. So the question is going to be, what uniform will he wear next year? Will it be New England? Will it be Tennessee? Will it be the Chargers, Colts? I mean, he's going to have a choice. So
Vegas, which I don't believe a lot of these stops. I don't believe. He's not going somewhere.
I did
just
see
to
that
go
there,
somewhere.
There was a report that Vegas would go after him.
Yeah.
Which is so weird to say Vegas still, but that they would go after him to, you know, their first year. You have Tom Brady. Be a great PR move for him, but then what do you do with Derek Carr?
Ship him out.
I guess so.
Somebody will be looking for him. In fairness to Tom Brady, the whole retirement thing, he's been saying all along he was not retiring. I mean, he's been saying throwing out 45 for a good while.
That's one thing that you can honestly say about him. He has never once waffled or hinted that he was walking away, because he has always said, you're right, for how many years now that he's going to play until he's 45? I mean, I've heard it
he's been saying it for a while. I mean, he's
like 3 or 4.
This is not something new. I mean, he has said, we laughed at first.
Yeah, that he wants to play until he's 45. So I think there's definitely some truth to that. That's going to be the plan. But
by the way, can there be any more rumors? Like, how many more private schools are there left for him to visit? Who else do they need to check?
I missed all that, but then I went and caught up and saw on Twitter that, oh, he's an NBA, or oh, he's an Ensworth. Yeah, or
I don't know. It's like, okay, who's next on the list?
Yeah.
Is he going to go visit Trent Dilfer?
Maybe. There's a connection there.
Yeah,
I mean, here's the thing. You can connect all these dots to former quarterbacks. So
Matt Hasselbeck and Tim Hasselbeck, yeah, probably are in the mix too. Yeah.
Kirk Herbstreit at NBA. I mean, they're, mm-hmm, you know, and they're a definite connection. So I would say Dilfer is probably on the list.
I guess what I'm getting at is I'm starting to believe, like, and maybe it's crazy, like, are we really going to be having this discussion? Like, is it really going to happen?
I mean, of course.
Based on what?
Like, I think there's like real smoke. That's what I'm getting. I think there's real smoke here. This is not
the commercial or the rumors about Friday.
No, I'm talking about him legitimately coming here. Like his
What are you basing the smoke on? The commercial or the rumors on
both
on Friday?
That's all the above.
So you think there's something to the rumors?
I do.
Really?
I do.
I'm talking about on Friday here that he was actually in Nashville.
No. I didn't say that.
So what does that really mean?
Why does this stuff keep coming? I had somebody Saturday night, and look, I know a lot of people are, this is what happens, right? This is rumors. And I'm not saying I'm believing this. I'm just saying there are people that are now doing this. I had somebody come up to me at the arena on Saturday and swear that he had just visited Ensworth. I mean, just, they were so adamant about it. And I'm like, well, great. Do you have any pictures? Any proof? Like, anything you can show me?
Yeah. I mean, if you were there, then take a picture.
No, I didn't say that they said they were there, but they were just very adamant. Right. That through, you know, whoever they talked to, that they were at Ensworth touring. And I don't know. I'm just saying it's starting to, I went through the Peyton Manning thing. Willie, you went through the Peyton Manning thing. I never once.
That's when I was
Peyton
interning.
Manning. Really?
Mm-hmm. I was an intern with Willie and Joe.
Oh, I didn't think you were here yet.
Yeah. Cause I remember, having to watch whatever site that is that you can get the tail number and, you know, the plane and tracking the plane and all that stuff.
I never bought it for him. I mean, I knew it was a courtesy call. That's sure. All it was. It was just courtesy.
But he actually did visit.
He did, but it was a courtesy visit. That's all it was.
Well, that was your interpretation. I believe that too. I agreed with you. But that's a little different than there are rumors that the Bradys were here, and nobody actually could.
I'm just
prove
saying,
that they
I
were
never
here.
Once said
with all those
I really
tracking.
Think Peyton could be. I think
okay.
he may choose Nashville,
but he visited. He gave an official visit. The Brady thing now, when you say there's smoke, I just have a hard time with. Is there really smoke? I don't know that we know that there's smoke, because in this day and age, with the plane tracking and the all the people with
right,
phones,
he
and
can't
stuff,
do official
could,
visits.
Could he?
So
I'm saying. When people come up to you and say he was in Nashville for a couple of different schools, nobody has a picture, nobody saw him at the airport. No, I mean, that's – he wasn't here.
It's hard to believe
he wasn't
in
here.
Today's – right.
He wasn't
today
here.
That you could get away with that.
Now, did his cousin come and go through some schools? I don't know.
Is there a tunnel system from the airport to any of these private schools that we know?
Hey, look, I've seen some pretty good disguises used these days.
Tom Brady and Giselle would be hard to disguise.
I don't know. Have you seen that show, Undercover Boss? I mean, they pull it off.
Yeah. Really? Would you?
Just saying. Take care.
What would Giselle? Does Giselle have a beard?
Well, I don't know.
They go, because they go right. They go the far extreme, right? If they don't have hair, they have tons of hair. If they have tons of hair, they go bald.
Yeah. Could put a beard on her. She still looked better than me.
Wow.
I'm just saying.
Giselle with the beard is a better version than Chase with the beard.
Yeah. Probably.
I'm laughing because I think I agree with you.
Yeah, well, it's okay. You're allowed to do that.
All right. We'll come back. Teron Davenport will be in studio with us. We'll get into what was last night. Also, the Titans offseason is here. And so it's time to start talking about what's going to happen. I think it's going to be a lot of fun in this market. I do. I hope I'm right. I think there's a lot of really interesting moves that are going to and decisions that have to be made. And boy, is it going to be interesting to see how John Robinson and the Titans handle it. We'll come back with Talking with TD. That's next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Talking with TD on Mondays here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Elijah seems to always hit the sweet spot.
Always, man. Luchini. Let's get rich, what? This is it, what?
I believe number 15 is going to get rich.
Woo! $300 million. Going once, going twice.
Sold!
Sold to the man.
Man in the red.
With the Kermit voice.
Who's really, really good at football.
Can I say something, though, since we're talking about quarterbacks?
Yeah.
Jimmy Garoppolo. $100+ million. A nice wide open Emmanuel Sanders on the post route.
Oof.
He overthrows him. You know who makes that throw, though?
Mahomes?
No. Ryan Tannehill. Speaking of all this, day. Is it. Okay. What?
How can you be so sure? How can you be so sure?
That's what
he only did it multiple times.
He did.
Okay.
He did.
Is he going to follow it up and do it again?
I believe so.
Well, for the Titans' sake. They better hope so.
I believe so.
Because I don't know what the number's going to be attached to him, but it's going to be a lot.
I think that Derek Carr contract is the one that's going to be. Derek Carr contract, Nick Foles, like that type of deal. Carr, the reason why I mentioned Carr is because you heard the rumors, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Raiders may be, next week, $2.9 million? That goes into effect? Hey. I think that's a number that I think the Titans could actually go similar to. Carr was what, 4-5 years, $100 million, $70 million guaranteed. The first 3 years, what, $20-22 million, and then year 4 and 5, $5 million, and then $2 million. I think that's something to look at for Tannehill.
I think the Titans are in a good spot because it's going to be either Tannehill or Brady. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt. That's it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's what we're really talking about, right?
Yeah.
I mean, can you see any other options?
Not really. I mean, sure, Andy Dalton, you know what I mean? But I think really the
as best, the starter?
Good options, I guess, is the best way to put it.
I think Andy Dalton could be effective in this offense. I just really feel that this Tannehill that we got to watch last year is the absolute right guy for the job. And, you know, we joked, what was it, last week about the, you know, the Brady thing and touched on that. But end of the day, if you just look at, he's the best guy for this team. So, you know, John Robinson, he knows what he has to do.
So where would you – because you were entertaining it. You were saying it should be looked at.
It do should you definitely feel like, be looked at.
So do you think he'll be out there? Like, do you think the timing would work that they could actually take a shot at him? Or do you think they'll have to make the decision on Tannehill before they really know that Brady is or is not there?
Honestly, I think they've made the decision on Tannehill already. I feel strongly that it's already – all right. He's the guy. Let's just work on getting this to a manageable number. And that's why I think the franchise tag.
Why do you say that? Just out of curiosity.
Well, I think because of what he was able to do in that offense.
Let me phrase it this way. Let me tell you why I'm asking that.
Mm-hmm.
I try to watch people's body language, mannerisms. You know, Mike Vrabel's down in Miami. He was on the set of NFL Live.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried to
Teddy
listen.
Teddy Bruschi, his teammate, is asking the questions.
So we talked about it. Yeah. And I try to watch, and whether it's a press conference you've been at since the season's ended or doing interviews, I kind of want to see how he handles the Tannehill question. I mean, mm-hmm. he gives you nothing. Nothing. Not even a hint. Not even like, we love what Ryan did for us this year. And, you know, of course, you know, we got to figure stuff out. Maybe nothing. It's almost like he doesn't even want to talk about it.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that means. I'm just telling you, it's a little confusing for me to think that they would, like, behind closed doors, they've already made up their mind and you would be shutting down the Tannehill discussion publicly. Like, you can protect it, right? You don't have to come out and say, but when you say something, I mean, am I wrong? I mean,
no, you're right. You're right. I think in this case, you just have like a world-class poker player. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
Just not showing his hand. I just, and this isn't coming, like, I'm not saying this from, hey, you know, this guy or that guy told me that he's coming back. I'm just saying that just from my just being in the locker room and just, you know, talking to guys about him, I really feel strongly that the decision is made. He has to come back as the quarterback. Now, will they entertain other things? Oh, for sure. Like the Brady thing, I think it should definitely be entertained. But end of the day, this is a play-action-based scheme. And I think yesterday, and to your credit, Willie, you sat right there and you stood up for what you know, and firmly, you know, stood your ground. And upon thinking about it and then just watching, last night I think really showed you that you have to have a quarterback that has some kind of wheels. You have to have some type of escapability because
– it helps. A lot.
You got more and more of these freak guys coming into the league as far as pass rushers are concerned. And then you got guys that are already on. You have to be able to create within the pocket. I'm not talking about just sliding and moving, stepping up like Brady does. I'm talking about, you know, doing what a Pat Mahomes does, a Deshaun Watson, what a Ryan Tannehill has done. You know, I think you really absolutely have to have some type of mobility. And I think that's why the Brady versus Tannehill comparison, I feel strongly that Tannehill is the better guy for them than Tom Brady.
Did you say that when we initially started talking about it?
No.
I thought you were Brady.
I was Brady.
He was. That's what he's saying.
I was okay. Brady.
So
but I'm saying
Willie
upon,
flopped you.
No.
He flopped me too.
I flopped myself. Upon further review, the call has been overturned because I had inconclusive evidence that a mobile, you know, and I've always felt that a mobile quarterback, but I think just last night's game really showed it even more, you know what I mean? So anybody that has questions about the new age quarterback, I think you really should not have any after watching last night's game. Especially.
Is this team, too, in a position where they kind of have to stick with something for a couple of years? I mean, we know Tannehill's not going to be the guy for the next 5 years, but I almost wonder in evaluating this, because I was Brady. I mean, I think it's Tom Brady. You definitely look at it. But
are you in Toronto? Are you flipped completely?
I'm flipped. I mean, I think if Tannehill can give you stability and do it again – and do it again, well, like you've been bringing up.
There's no proof.
There's no proof that Brady can come down here and be the same Tom Brady.
Well, other than just what he's done his whole career. I mean.
My only thing is
in New England
this,
with Bill Belichick.
I think that Brady could come in here and be effective. I believe that strongly. I just personally, looking at the big picture of things, I think it would be better for them to go in the Tannehill direction for – 2 or 3 years, and then come back and reevaluate. I just feel this for the sake of continuity, and for the sake of you know, working with what's already in place, which is continuity. I think that Tannehill is the better option.
Dan,
I'm not changing him. No,
you still say go if Brady is available. You go for Brady.
No way am I changing.
Let me clarify.
I'm not going to be a flopper. I'm sticking with it.
Okay, don't be a flopper.
I'll be a flopper.
My pile's in the middle of the table.
That's fine.
My pile's in the middle of the table. Yeah.
I think, though, number one, because you just said this, you won't go wrong with either option, I don't think.
Well, no, that's not true. I mean, both you could go wrong with both options.
But what,
I agree.
Everything that's been put on the table could happen. Like,
sure,
Brady may never be the
but
same.
But your words
Tannehill
were,
may not follow up this season. He may drop off, and he may drop off significantly. He may get hurt.
Weren't your words, though, that the Titans are in a good situation because it's either going to be Tannehill or Brady?
Well, I think I was just bringing up, I think those, we can sit here and say all the, you know, other stuff that we've brought up, the Rivers. Like, I don't think any of that stuff's on the table. It's down to the guy they know and the guy that some of them know.
And based on the sample size.
Not all of them, but some of them know.
Mm-hmm. Based on what you know, I guess is the best way to put it. Based on what you know and you being the Titans, you like both those options. Both those options tend to say, okay, we're probably going to keep this winning going. Because of the way Tannehill played, and obviously Tom Brady being Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason that I have flopped, or whatever, however you want to put it, is based a lot on what Teron said of, as I look back at what they did with the offense as he took over, I heard Braden make the point this morning that he wants to see Arthur Smith be a little more dynamic. Well, the offense was designed for Mariota, to make Mariota successful, and it didn't. And Mariota wasn't successful, so they changed midseason. You can't change the entire offseason or the offense in the middle of the season. But what they were able to do in Toronto, I think it did get more dynamic as the year went on. You saw more of that going deep in the playbook.
But I don't think it got more dynamic just simply because Tannehill was a. I don't think they changed the offense, frankly. I really don't. I think they.
Maybe the best way to put it is they went deeper in the playbook.
I don't even know that they did that. I mean, you did see wrinkles. You saw certain wrinkles, but I think a lot of that was based off of Tannehill's decisiveness. I think it was based off of his ability to make the right read. I think it was based off of his ability, and actually Vrabel mentioned this when I asked him specifically what Tannehill brings, and he talked about how he is able to keep them in manageable down and distances. Now, granted, we had the whole thing where we were constantly talking about Taylor Lewan and his penalties. That went into it. Obviously, the continuity on the offensive line, which is why Jack Conklin has to come back. I think that is something that also helped with the whole situation as far as the offense. But I don't think it totally changed under Tannehill.
I'll say this.
The playbook, that is.
Going to back to what you said about his feet, I'm not arguing any of the points because there's nothing to argue. I will say this. I kind of feel like a little bit of it's caught up in the moment because you can't really compare anybody to Mahomes. Mahomes is really on a planet by himself. Yeah, he's got legs, but there's all kinds of quarterbacks that have legs that have won no Super Bowls.
But I'm not being
– like his arm and his smarts, his football IQ, and everything he brings to the table, his upbringing, like he is the complete package.
Hey, listen, I had a conversation, a text conversation for 20 minutes. Shame on me because I had it while I was in church yesterday about with a silly 49ers fan trying to tell me that Garoppolo
was the sermon just not really
didn't move
they,
you,
they
huh?
I guess
it was conveniently during the time when it's time to go up with the donations.
Okay.
There you go.
So you were just multitasking.
Yeah, you were still involved.
I was locked
into my phone so I could pretend like I didn't see it. Nah, just kidding. Pastor Reed, I definitely did what I had to do.
Okay.
I without a doubt will say that
time
that
to
Mahomes.
Time. Oh, I gotta check my phone. I got some stuff going on. Work, sorry, work's calling.
You know, they said we like the kind of jingles rather than the kind that folds, and I was like, no. No, but seriously, I think Mahomes is undoubtedly the best quarterback in the league. But
he's gonna make $40 million a year. Yeah, so
right, you know, I'm not caught up in the moment. I'm just saying that it just showed you. It further showed you the importance of having a guy.
I understand. I'm just saying there's been plenty of mobile quarterbacks in this market, and we've watched one flop after another. You know what I mean? Like, you have to have more than just being mobile.
Okay. I think we're getting off track because I was saying having a guy that can do that. This league is gearing away from the statue guy and getting more to you have to have the ability – obviously, all the other things, you know, have to come into play, but you have to have the ability to elude and escape the pocket. And when the rushing lanes open up, you got to have a guy that could take advantage of that just because of how things are going. Now, granted, the statue guy that could stand in a pocket and throw the ball down the field is definitely something you have to have that attribute, but I think this league is moving more towards mobility at the quarterback position. 11-on-11 football.
Would you take for the next 2 years Watson and Jackson or Breeze and Brady?
Watson and Jackson all day.
Okay.
All day. And that's without hesitation.
I'm trying to I did that on the fly, so I should probably trying to think if I could scale it back a little.
I like what but Breeze has a touch to that
you
mobility
I mean?
Too.
Yeah.
To too.
I mean, well
but
yeah.
I think Watson is a ridiculously slept on quarterback in this league. You shouldn't have a top five conversation about a quarterback without Deshaun Watson being in there.
I'll just say this about Tannehill, and this is what I've been bringing up. This is not a knock. Look, it was the right move. It changed their season. If he's the next guy, that's great. But I see a lot of Garoppolo, Tannehill. Those guys, to me, are all the same.
No.
They're good. They can get you to the finish line. But everything
then,
has
then
to.
Then why change? Like, there's a lot of guys that, like Mariota, has had enough time to where I think you can assess he's not in that category.
Garoppolo.
No, he's not the guy.
He's not that good.
Until you have the guy that can absolutely change the game no matter what is happening, until you have that guy.
How many teams have that guy? Six? There's 32 teams in the league.
Well, I think the guy that we're talking about knows how to win in big games.
But, well, he does. But 43, at 43, you do wonder.
Like Jared Goff was really good last year. Really good.
Within that scheme.
Right.
Within that scheme.
But nobody was saying anything till the Super Bowl, right? And then the Patriots shut him down. And then last year, Gurley wasn't effective, and then he just – nobody is talking about Jared Goff anymore, you know? That's what I'm saying. At the time, it was like, Jared Goff, okay, that's a number one pick. He's good. He's really good.
Hey, listen. As far as Garoppolo is concerned, I don't put him in the same category. The previous Ryan Tannehill, I put in the same category. But this Tannehill I saw in the 10 or 12 games, he's not scary anymore. That's the thing that really shocked me. He's not
Garoppolo?
Scary. Tannehill.
Tannehill.
Garoppolo, scary. You saw it.
Yeah.
You saw it last night. He's scary. And this guy on the screen, Kyle Shanahan, he proved to us what that organization feels about Garoppolo, because what happened when the stuff hit the fan? They're running the football. That tells you a lot.
Yep.
End of the first half, and then, you know, when they got the ball with 2 minutes left or whatever, they're running the football for the most part. And then you had the incompletions, and you saw, you know, the rest.
We'll come back and recap pick six. Oh, wait a minute. No, that's not what we're going to do next. We'll come back and talk about – I just wanted to do that.
You feel better? Feel good about yourself?
Yeah, I do. I do. I feel good about pick six.
Does your arm hurt from patting yourself on the back?
No, it's fine. In fact, I'm going to keep patting it during the break. 7 points.
I mean, I know how your body works. You may have to ice it down. So,
7 points. I do want to bring this up because here's another interesting move in the offseason I want you to think about. Well, actually, I'm going to bring it up on the other side, but we're going to touch on the running backs. And what's interesting is what just took place yesterday. Does that change anything for John Robinson? I'll explain. On the other side, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're talking with TD, Teron Davenport, in studio with us. It was just over 7 minutes to go in the game last night. The 49ers had a probability win rate of 96.1%.
Uh-oh. We're getting into the algorithm.
Did that account for number 15
that
on the other side? I wouldn't have put it that high.
That was the second highest win probability in a Super Bowl. The other one was Falcons had a 99.4%
okay.
win probability. What does both of those games have in common?
Kyle Shanahan.
Yikes.
Oops.
Oof. He'll have to live with that one.
Oops.
For a long
I don't know
time.
How much it's directly on him, but it's... I'm sure in his mind, he's like, man, what do I got to do to win this
thing?
Well,
you know, he dialed up a really nice play.
He sure did.
Emmanuel Sanders was all Emmanuel Sanders had to do was think like, okay, I just got to make sure I don't bump my head on the goalpost. That's all he had to think about. But
if he would have just taken like 5 yards off that throw, it would have been caught.
Yeah.
You just missed him by 5 yards.
Hey, you pay.
Is that a big deal?
Hey, listen, I'm not a big Frank Clark fan at all, but Frank Clark said it all. You're paying a guy 150, 140, 130, whatever million, he got to make that throw.
He does. And luckily for him and his team, he didn't make the throw.
Basically.
Because they got to win. So here's what I wanted to bring up.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't take it however you want. Okay, who was the best running back for Kansas City?
What, like last night? Or just
well, last night or this season? Who's their go-to guy?
I would say Damian Williams for the most part.
He was the MVP of the game, wasn't he?
He was. I thought he was, honestly. He was. I thought he was the MVP.
Even though he dances a lot, he was running hard.
He had over 100 yards running and a touchdown catch.
First 100-yard rusher on the winning team in the Super Bowl since? Willie.
Emmitt Smith?
My question from the other day.
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes. Dominic Rhodes.
Dominic Rhodes?
Really?
Wow.
Now that is a
since
trivia question.
Colts, Bears, in Miami.
Would not have thought that.
Robbie Gould's last Super Bowl.
Second time now in 17 years in the Super Bowl, the winning team's had a 100-yard rusher. Just the second time.
Okay, so.
So Damian Williams.
Let's get to it. I know what you're
who's
doing.
The top running back for the 49ers, at least in the playoffs?
In the playoffs, Raheem Mostert.
Yeah. What do those two guys have in common?
Undrafted free agent.
Undrafted guys. So does that change anything?
No.
Nothing?
No.
Teron's like, no.
No. I mean, okay, Tom Brady was a 6th-round pick, so should we always say the quarterback shouldn't be?
I'm just asking the question.
I mean, it's not that question is not going to go away.
It is.
Two guys.
Because the analytics people are going to say that, right? They're all going to do that. But I just think there is a human side, and there is just the eye test where you have to say, listen, watch that guy every night or every day in practice, every game. You got
to
have that guy.
We praise the 49ers this entire point all the way to the finish
line
and saying, what did they do well on offense? They ran the ball. It was Mostert going crazy. Damian Williams, I agree with you, Willie. He was the MVP. He really was. I thought he was the MVP of the game. And those are two undrafted guys. I'm just asking. Does that play any? Maybe that's the backup to him. I don't know. Maybe you go that route.
So you're saying you're asking if it changes anything with the contract with Henry?
Everybody that screams don't pay the running back big money, because there are plenty of people out there saying that. Don't do it. You're going to get burned. Yeah. Don't do it.
Right.
Is this another example of why you don't do it? That's all I'm asking.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, really what it boils down to is you pay playmakers, right? If a guy is a difference maker for you, you pay him. I don't understand what's so complicated, why we're acting like we're trying to send a rocket into outer space. You pay playmakers. Like, football
well, dude,
is not
when all
hard.
Those guys got paid, they were playmakers. I mean, that's what the counter would be. Those guys were playmakers when they got paid.
Andy Dalton was a playmaker when he got paid. Jimmy Garoppolo was a playmaker, air quotes, when he got paid. So should we not pay quarterbacks? I'm just saying, as OJ would say.
I'm not sure I'd put Andy Dalton in the same category as David Johnson and Todd Gurley.
I can't give that to OJ, though. Lady, I mean, a lot of people said that before OJ. I just love
the cadence that he did. I'm just saying.
No, but you got to do the, like, All right, take care.
You know what me and OJ have in common? We won our fantasy football league.
Did you draft Andrew Luck, too?
I did not. I drafted Ben Roethlisberger.
Wow.
And you won?
And you still won.
Because I drafted Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, well, that helps.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so you and I have talked a lot about the F-150.
Yes, sir.
And paying him. Mm-hmm. I believe you got to pay him because you can't go backwards with this team. So you got to go forward, so you're going to end up overpaying him. However, do you buy?
And it's however.
However, do you buy his negotiating tactic that he used, which I'm sure he was advised to do this on the Rich Eisen show at the Super Bowl, when he said, quote, Zeke's number is the floor.
I'm not so sure.
What else
sure
is he going to say?
Exactly. So let's say Ryan Porth is talking to you, right? Let's say Ryan Porth is listening to you and I talk, and I say, hey, look, man, would you take $5 an hour? Like, well, what would you take $20 an hour? Is that the floor of what you would take to work for this company? And you know Ryan's listening. Would you be like, no.
Right. I mean, look,
it's a tactic. Give me five. I'll take five.
It's a tactic, but we're now.
I don't think it's a tactic.
Doing?
It's just literally an honest answer. You know what I mean? It's just an honest answer. Like, of course he's not going to say, oh, no, I would take less.
Okay, we have it. This is what he said.
You're a free agent, sir, correct?
Yes, sir.
How are you approaching this? You're fired up? You're excited? You want to stay? What do you got for me?
Oh, I mean, I definitely want to stay.
Okay.
I mean, it's my first time being a free agent. Just taking one day at a time and then, you know, see what happens. Because, I mean, eventually, I mean, something's going to happen. So ain't no reason to rush in it.
Right.
You know, just let it play out. Get my agent, talk to the team, and then see how it goes from there. So I'm new to this, so.
Okay. Is Zeke numbers the floor? Is that the floor?
Zeke numbers is the floor.
I mean, what else are you going to say? I see your point, but
here's
is that
thing.
What they're going to have to do? That's my question. Because to me, now I'm nervous. If that's the number, then now I'm nervous. As I hit the mic.
You were just, your hands were very nervous.
I was nervous.
Shaking.
He's hit the rattled. Mic. No. look, man. When he says Zeke's numbers are the floor, when he says that, there are a lot of ways that could be interpreted.
Actually, Rich Eisen said it. He just kind of agreed with him.
Basically. But even let's pretend that Derrick Henry just came out and said that, because that's how, if you look on social media, everybody's saying Derrick Henry said he. So we'll pretend. We'll play the game with you. There are multiple ways that Zeke's numbers can be the floor. It could be average contract, annual salary, right? It could be guaranteed money. It could
ding,
be
ding, ding, ding.
Funny money. There are all kinds of ways that you could make this look like Jimmy Sexton got the most guaranteed whatever for a running back with the Derrick Henry contract.
Can you explain funny money a little bit better?
Funny money. So we're talking about, well, let's use the Derek Carr contract. 5 years, $100 million. $70 million of it guaranteed. That's 70 to 100. That's $30 million that we know won't happen, right? But then even within that guarantee, they will cut him before the guarantees go into effect. So really the number, if you're doing contracts.
So there's guaranteed and then there's real guaranteed.
There's guaranteed and then there's fully guaranteed.
Okay.
Exactly, which is real guaranteed.
Is that Kirk Cousins? Was that fully? Is that what you're.
That Kirk Cousins thing was just.
That was the whole, right?
The whole thing was fully guaranteed, right?
Listen, coming back from Mobile, I was on the same flight as Rick Spielman. I double checked to make sure that the flight was going where it was, because I really questioned his judgment and negotiating skills with that contract that he gave. I had to make sure that my flight was going to the right place, because I thought since he was on, it might have been going someplace that it shouldn't be going.
Wow.
Because that contract went someplace it shouldn't have been going. So that Kirk Cousins thing is different. But, yeah, I mean, funny money is the money that on paper it shows real good, right? But it's not. I think Colin Kaepernick's contract was a really good one as an example of funny money. It had $100 million on it, like that sticker on it, but it was really a series of one-year deals that really gave you an easy out whenever you wanted to have that out. That's actually why Kaepernick switched agents.
I would be really concerned if I'm John Robinson, just seeing this go on at times, especially with the running back, right? We've seen some running backs. Le'Veon Bell would be probably the biggest example you could think of recently. But I just wouldn't want to have a cloud hanging over your head of, okay, I'm going to slap the franchise tag on, and then, you know, we haven't really agreed on all of the money and what investment we want to make. And, hey, you know, I want to pay you, Derek, and you're important, but the running back position, this is the – you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden now Derek Henry's got to decide, am I holding out? Am I going to the OTAs?
Mm-hmm.
Do I sign the tender? All of these things. I just hope that they can get on the same page
avoid that. I agree. And that's why you don't you want to use that franchise tag. That should be your last resort. You know what I mean? In this Derrick Henry case.
But they got to get on it, too.
Go ahead and get the deal done. You know, just get the deal done. And the thing is, like, people are going to mention, you know, Todd Gurley. Well, Todd Gurley, he had a depreciating knee. You know what I mean? That deal, that's questionable. David Johnson got hurt, right? Every player gets hurt, by the way. So, and then you mentioned Le'Veon Bell, right? He's playing for a guy that didn't even want him. And he's playing for a guy who's so hard-headed that he refuses to use him to his maximum ability. I just think Derrick Henry is a guy that this team absolutely has to have back. And when you have a guy who accounts for 69% of your offense entering the AFC Championship game, you absolutely have to pay him. And you know what?
You have no choice.
You're going to end up paying a little bit more. And that's okay, because – in your case, the running back is more important to you than it is in other cases. So you use him up the next 2 years, you use him up, get 800 carries out of him in 2 years, and then, hey, you know how this business works.
And if that silver trophy comes to Nashville, nobody cares how much he's making.
I am a believer in analytics. I have jumped on that train before many, and I understand what they're saying. I mean, you heard Joel Corey say you don't pay the running back. You heard a lot of those guys. You heard Calvin, analytics guy. You don't pay the running back. So you do have a choice. But I'm with Teron. I just, as a guy who, you know, you look at a locker room, it's intangible.
Intangible.
You just got to have him. You got to have him in there. But I would go a step further. Can they do it without avoiding all of the business feelings that seep in there? Like Chris Johnson... CJ, that was tough, right? He held out. It got tense, and it was a same kind of debate. How much do you pay the running back? His feelings were hurt. It took a while. He missed the entire preseason. Showed up the week before the first game. It got done, but he never was the same.
Mm.
And I wonder how much of it was he wasn't in shape, in sync, and how much of it was just the business feelings that seep in and affect, you know, the good feeling you have, that chemistry you have in the locker room right now. Because it's great right now with Derrick Henry.
One guy, you talk about body language and tone. One guy that Mike Vrabel doesn't hide it about, 22.
Yep. It's true. All right, we'll come back, wrap up the first hour with Teron Davenport. On the other side, Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Teron Davenport is with us, ESPN NFL Titans reporter. Talking Super Bowl, we're talking Titans as we move forward. Teron, you said, and you just sort of hinted at it before we really got into the heavy discussion about the quarterback and the running back, you hinted that Jack Conklin is a high priority for you. To explain that, and can the money work? I guess that's going. These are all going to be the questions that will be the questions for the next couple of months.
Yeah, I think the money can work, and I think it is an absolute priority. And unfortunately, I think collateral damage in this could be a Logan Ryan or a Malcolm Butler, right? Depending on if they decide, okay, you know what? We want to sign Logan, but to do it, we may have to release Malcolm. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. It's going to cost something somewhere, right? So when you look at Conklin, though, that offensive line, you marry that with the running back that they have in Derrick Henry, I think you have a winning formula. I think it's something that will always make them competitive. I don't care who they're playing. You're not going to see this team get blown out too much because of the running game and the defense. Games are always going to be close. But Conklin absolutely has to come back. You invested.
So you're not a believer in the Dennis Kelly for a fraction of the price. Because I'm with you. I think I would much rather have Conklin. Because some would say, all right, I'll use Kelly, and that will allow me to keep Ryan. I don't know how the math will work because we don't have the certainty yet of knowing what it's going to cost to get Kent, Tannehill, and Henry back, and then you have to assess what you have left.
That's the thing. Kelly played well in stretches, without a doubt, right? He played well, you know, in 18 when Conklin was struggling and was injured. It's definitely something that they should approach, but I just think Conklin right now is one of – I would say you go right tackle. I say he's a top 10 right tackle in the league. The guy, you look at a lot of the runs, especially with what they do.
So then what's the price? Because the price for a top 10 unrestricted right tackle who they could have invested in and taken a leap of faith on last year. I understand why they didn't do it. Made sense at the time. But he has rebounded. And that's what I thought at the time. But, hey, they are where they are, which means they'll have to pay more to keep him.
Yeah, and then in addition to
that. That's an expensive position.
One of the things that Chase did very well at locker room cleanup was approach the, okay, is your agent going to market you as a left tackle? That was an awesome question by Chase. Thank you. That's something that really has to be put into the picture because now you have left tackle ability. That goes into how Lane Johnson got his first big deal. Because Jason Peters, you know, somehow that movie Cocoon, he continues to get younger. You know what I mean? As he gets older. So he has just kind of stuck around. But initially, Lane Johnson was supposed to flip to left tackle. So will a team sign Jack Conklin with the understanding that he'll play left tackle?
This is another question that comes up a lot with not just, you know, the wide scope of analytics, but a lot of GMs and agents, the way the trends in the league have gone, the value of the right tackle
has
been higher than the value of the running back. So some would say, if you just take the names off the chart and say, okay, I'm building a team. I need to budget for a right tackle. I need to budget for a running back. The right tackle is the higher priority
typically
for a lot of people, right?
Yeah.
So that's an interesting
thing
that John Robinson is going to have to tackle here.
That's an excellent point. It is an interesting thing. And because of this league, you know, the way it's happening now. I mean, there were certain guys, Derek Thomas, Lawrence Taylor, you know, that you saw rushing from both sides. But for the most part, you were a left outside linebacker or defensive end and a right defensive end or right outside linebacker. Now you see guys flipping back and forth, and you see teams stocking their defensive line with pass rushers from both sides. So the right tackle is definitely more important now. I think those three, Henry, Conklin, and Tannehill, those are all – the key, you get those back. I don't think you could win the free agency period without having those three back. I'll put it to you like that.
Very interesting. So what could it cost you? You mentioned Malcolm Butler. Like there's a few veterans that you probably in a perfect world would like to have back, but these are the tough choices you have to make. So where do you sacrifice if you have to invest big?
Well, I think before it gets to Malcolm Butler, we know Deion Lewis is not going to be back. Right.
Right.
That's an almost given. Business, EPMD, man. They say strictly business. Business never personal. Delanie Walker. It's either a renegotiation or.
I don't even know if I'd do that. As much as I love Delanie Walker.
What?
Like, I think you walk away.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. So you don't even know that you would do a renegotiation.
No,
You're just gone.
I don't know if it's there anymore. And I know you're losing a locker room guy and an ambassador for the team, and that's tough to replace, but strictly business, like you just said.
Yeah, that's the thing. So you got that, right? And then it gets to a Malcolm Butler. I think his deal, I think it's $6 million or $7 million if they release him. He's 13 against the cap. Here's the thing. If you feel Butler is worth $13 million for this year, do you not feel Logan Ryan is worth at least that? Right? And so if you're Logan Ryan, right, and the Titans come to you and say, hey, listen, we value you. We love your leadership. We love what you were able to do, your versatility. But we can only pay you $8-9 million. How do you respond to that? You mean to tell me I stuck around this whole I played the slot. I played. I gave you everything I had against the run. I blitzed. I was second on or third, top five on your team with 4.5 sacks. And you're telling me that this? No. So I think that's where that whole Butler versus Logan Ryan thing comes in. And it's just you may have to go for a younger guy, right, at that position.
All right, we're going to kick off the second hour. We're going to stick with this for a minute because I do want to ask you, and then I want us to go around the room. Is it smart? Is it a good idea to try to keep your roster intact and keep signing everybody up to contracts? Or is it better you identify some core guys and then you just always have to replenish? And I'll tell you what exactly I'm talking about on the other side to kick off the second hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase next.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.